The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another edition of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and I'm so glad you have decided to make Catholic radio a part of your day. Thank you for joining us as we foster a culture of holy vocations and encourage one another to answer God's call in our lives and then remain faithful to that calling. Today, we are going to talk with a wonderful priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, Father David Melosha. And if you've been listening to this show from the beginning, you will remember that his parents, Steve and Beverly Melosha, were guests over a year ago. Now, before we meet Father Melosha, I'd like to share a few words from Sacred Scripture today. These words come from Ephesians chapter 6. And this is about putting on the armor of God. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, and the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. This is a bold passage in Scripture, encouraging us to put on the armor of God with truth and righteousness in order to withstand the battles we face. And let's face it, we all face battles of some kind. Some are spiritual, some are emotional, some are physical, some are psychological. In regards to our vocation, Satan wants nothing more than division, division, division. He wants division in marriage and family life, as well as division among the clergy and within religious communities. Sometimes it may feel like a battle to persevere in your vocation. Know that you are not alone. You have the armor of God at your disposal, just for the asking. So read Ephesians chapter 6 whenever you feel weak, and stay in the fight to protect your vocation against the enemy. Our guest today is a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis who has answered the call within the call and is about to enter a whole new battlefield. Within a matter of days, Father David Melosha will leave to become a military chaplain, and we pray that he will put on the armor of Almighty God, both physically and spiritually, every day in his new assignment. Father David Melosha is the third of 12 children born to Steve and Beverly Melosha. He was born in California because his father was in the Air Force. They moved to Missouri when he was 4 years old and settled in St. Joseph Parish in Imperial. He attended Windsor Public High School in Imperial and then received an associate's degree in 2006 in electrical engineering. He worked a short time before entering Kenrick Lennon Seminary in 2007. He was ordained a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis in 2015. Father Melosha has served at Assumption Parish in South County and St. Genevieve Parish in St. Genevieve, Missouri. And he, as I said, is about to begin serving as a military chaplain for the United States Navy. Well, welcome, Father Melosha, to the Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you, Patty, for welcoming me here. It's a great joy to be here this morning.
I'm so excited to hear about your story, your vocation story, and your call to the priesthood, but then also to learn about this new assignment that you are about to begin. So let's get right to the question so that our listeners can get a glimpse of your life. Tell us about your family. We said, you know, you're the third of 12 children. So how was that a little bit unique, of course, growing up in such a beautiful, large family, but then how was it typical? And do you remember if there were any seeds early in your childhood that pointed to your vocation in the priesthood?
Yes. Well, first, with 12 children, you can imagine, I was never lonely. You have no shortage of friends growing up. And yes, our household was very Catholic. My earliest memories is how God blessed me with such great parents, my father and my mother always emphasizing that God was the center of our life, that going to Holy Mass every Sunday was the sun which our solar system revolved around. They prayed with us every day, prayers before meals, prayers before bread. Some of my favorite memories are my father reading us kids Bible stories, and he was always very animated when doing that. And that made a huge impression on me because my father, you know, as with every child growing up, their father is usually Superman. There's nothing he cannot do. My father's the fastest. My father's the strongest. My father's the smartest, and no one's better than him. He's my hero, and he still is to this day. But to see him pray to God, it made God real. In my father and my mother's relationship with God, through their relationship with God, I knew God was real. And that Wow. made the most powerful impression on me from a very young age of just how important God was.
That's so beautiful. I also love how you said he read Bible stories with animation, because so many people think that Bible stories are, you know, not really children's literature or that they could be boring. But no, when you read Bible stories to children with animation, it really does come alive.
Yes, it's my favorite thing to do when I had grade school, to tell children Bible stories, because I feel like history repeating itself. I inherited, I think, that animated personality from my father, and I enjoy that very much. But going through and growing up, I first thought I might have been called to be a priest in kindergarten when they ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was only 5 years old at the time. And I always loved just seeing the priest up in the front of church talking to God. It's like, wow, you could grow up and your job is to be working for God. And that intrigued me and attracted me a lot. And my mother always encouraged me, you know, God can do great things through you. With God, you can do any good thing. Listen to how he might be calling to use you. And that inspired me, really made me believe, yeah, I could do this if this is what God wants me to do.
That's so beautiful. All right, well, describe yourself through those high school and teenage years. Obviously, you're saying you always knew that God was real. But there comes a point even in everyone's life where they have to make the faith their own, as I say. How was your faith influenced maybe by circumstances or experiences that you could grow in maturity? Did you go on retreats? Were you involved in youth group? What was it for you that helped you mature in your faith?
It was actually going to public high school. I went to Catholic grade school, kindergarten through eighth grade. But once I went to public high school, it was quite a different world from the one I was used to. And I was challenged in my beliefs. I was challenged, for example, in forgiving others when I was bullied because I was a small, skinny guy, shy guy. I was challenged in people asking me questions about my faith, including one of my best friends who was Baptist and challenged me everything about my Catholic faith all the time. And I had to learn in order to answer his questions. As far as going to youth groups and retreats, no, that was never, I was never really attracted to that. And eventually it came down to a question of personal relationship with God, of am I going to talk to God beyond my prayers before bed and prayers before meal? Obviously, I would always go to Holy Mass. Heaven help you if you even, my father even caught a hint that you thought, said you didn't want to go to Mass. So that was never a problem. But to really own it and realize my shortcomings, especially in high school growing up, it's like, oh, I'm not really listening to what Jesus says here or says there. Is Jesus really God? And if he is, am I going to listen to him? And it was that internal decision that came by the grace of God saying, yeah, I think I need to.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. So when you think of your seminary years, what were some of your greatest joys during that time? Once you entered the seminary, did you experience any trials or struggles? You know, some people go in, they discern out, they come back, or it can be a rough road. But what was key to your discernment when you knew this is it?
Well, that's the thing. I forgot about my desire to be a priest through growing up in high school. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do first. I thought maybe I'd go in the Air Force, maybe try to be a fighter pilot because that was really cool. My dad got to fly planes in the Air Force. Or, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And that's why I went into engineering. I was still practicing my faith, but I thought, you know, I'm good at math. I like working with my hands. This is what my mom suggested. Oh, maybe you should take a look at the technical college. But the whole time I was growing stronger in my faith, going to confession first monthly and then weekly, reading the Bible on my own, praying on my own, all this on my own, growing closer to God. It was just so wonderful. And that's when I began to hear our Lord knocking on my door again. And at first, it terrified me. I ran away. Oh. I did not eagerly enter the seminary at first.
Oh, okay.
My mom could see the signs, and she pointed them out to me, and I told her to leave me alone.
Typical young man. Sometimes we get that as moms. I understand it.
And it was because I was afraid, because I thought I had invested so much already into what I was doing. I was second in my class at engineering school. I had good jobs lined up. I was going to, you know, make a lot of money, and I could be a good contributor to church, and I could just do what I wanted while being a great Catholic. And now here comes God knocking on my door again saying, I think you should remember this. And I felt like it would have been a waste. I've already done all of these things, and I'm on this path. But as much as I resisted him, thinking, no, this is what I'll do because I know this will make me happy, I was having less and less happiness and peace as time went on.
Wow. Interesting. So all those things that you thought would bring fulfillment, the job that you were excited about.
Oh, very much so.
But it didn't bring the happiness.
Yeah, the job, the independence, the money, it didn't bring me the happiness. And it wasn't until, I remember, I'll never forget, it was then Archbishop Raymond Burke came and visited our parish to bless our parish for its 100th anniversary. And he looked me right in the eye when I came up to him asking him to bless the sacramentals I wear around my neck. He's like, you should come to the seminary on a retreat and visit us. And It was like a key and a lock. It just had a deep impact on me. Of course, still dismissive of it. I humored him and said, oh, I'll think about that. In my mind, thinking, oh, there's no way. But in my heart, something had really moved.
Just that invitation to actually come to the seminary for a retreat.
Yes.
And then is that what sealed the deal?
And that's what, when I went, visited that seminary, there was a few more instances beforehand that I could go into, but we'll save that for another time perhaps. But yes, going on that retreat, after that, I had such peace. I remember going to seminary, the place felt like home. There was other like-minded men around me who were devoted to their faith, because that was a thing growing up. I'm a young man going to Mass, and I'm the only man my age besides my brother, it seemed, to be going to Mass. I couldn't, you know, find any of my childhood friends. Maybe they just went to different Masses, but I felt at peace, the peace I'd been robbed of for the last 18 months since resisting our Lord on this.
Sure. All right, so then you did enter. And what do you remember most about those years? Did that peace continue? Was that confirmation for you?
The peace continued very much so. That doesn't mean the seminary was all peaches and cream. There was very much challenges, personal challenges, academic challenges, spiritual challenges.
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, it's not easy. And I had a few personal moments of crisis where I had to flee to God on my knees, and I think that was the idea to get me to trust in Him more.
All right, well, what do you remember most about your ordination day?
What I remember most about the ordination day were two things. One, when the nose hits the marble, so to speak, that was just the most surreal of moments, and I had already experienced it as my ordination as a transitional diaconate, which was very moving, but it was all the more powerful on priesthood. I remember that. I remember renewing my vow of obedience to a promise of obedience to the Archbishop. But the biggest thing I think I remember is I walked out of that church catching sight of my father and mother. And my father was crying tears of joy. And my father's a very strong man, and I've almost never seen the man cry. So to see him so happy with tears, that left a mark on me. I realized how much this meant to him and how much it confirmed him in his own vocation as a father and a husband.
Yes. That is beautiful. That is beautiful, Father Melosha. If you've just joined us, we're talking with Father David Melosha, priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and hearing his story. And we've just gotten to the point, of course, of his ordination. So your first years as a priest, did you encounter any surprises or areas that stretched you? I mean, I know our formation is absolutely fantastic. fantastic here at Kenrick Lennon Seminary. But obviously there are things, just like with any parent, becoming a father, a spiritual father, there are things that you don't expect sometimes.
Absolutely.
So where have you seen maybe the most growth in yourself since your ordination to the priesthood?
Well, as the old saying goes among priests, the seminary teaches you what a priest is. It doesn't necessarily teach you how to be a priest. So it is very much a hands-on learning experience, which is wonderful, which is why your pastor is there to guide you, to teach you, and you just get to have the joy of being an associate pastor, experience of being a priest. But I remember being challenged immediately in my first year. My first funeral that I had just 3 weeks after my ordination was a very serious one. It was a murder-suicide.
Oh my goodness.
And the pastor couldn't take it, so I was kind of thrown in the deep end to see if I could swim.
Wow. 3 weeks after ordination.
Three or four weeks, yes.
And that funeral would have been a tough one for any priest.
It was extremely tough. I called a few priests asking for advice, and of course they were gracious in lending me. My pastor, who was assigned with Father Thomas Keller, was very helpful as well. But it ultimately came down to me abandoning myself to God, saying, God, I don't know what to do, what to say, what I'm doing here, but I know you do. And so I will allow you to lead. And he did lead, and he got me through that. And all I remember is the family, in a most terrible time, coming up to me and thanking me for giving them the comfort and the peace that they needed. And I was just inside. I was shaking because I was like, I had no idea what I was doing, but apparently God did need me. And he used me and got me through that situation. But that opened my eyes to the greater challenges of the priesthood, the greater depths of growth, the constant learning that needs to continue. We like to think we're done one day learning with school or done learning about our faith, but it never ends. We must continue to grow. The spiritual life is like a river. If we're not growing, we will be washed away. You need to be constantly going upstream.
Yeah, beautiful. Well said. Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that so much. So tell us now about this new, I'm going to say adventure, but I know that's the wrong word. It is not an adventure. It's a call within a call, but you are going to be leaving our archdiocese here within a matter of days of when we are recording this, and you will become a military chaplain in the United States Navy. So how did this call within your vocation to the priesthood come about? Because of course, you'll still be a priest of the Archdiocese, but I understand you were given like a release to go and become a chaplain for the military. Was this a dream of yours for a long time? Obviously, we know you come from a family with military service in your background, but how did that come about?
It came about in the seminary. I remember my second semester of my first year, I met a priest, Father Joseph Coffey, who is now Bishop Joseph Coffey. He was the vocational director for the Archdiocese of Military in St. Louis. And he was in our refectory one day, and they said that we'd have a visiting chaplain and to stop by and say hi to him, and he had free pens and little things that interest you in the Navy. But I planned on meeting him, if anything, just to thank him for his service, because I always love meeting military men and women, thank them for putting on the uniform. And I'll never forget walking into the refectory, and I see him in his Navy whites, and he looks extra sharp, and suddenly, from across the refectory, he locks eyes with me, like he sees me, and I see him, and he just points at me and is like, come here. And I went over him and had a wonderful conversation with him that really, that's when the spark was lit and really awakened something in me. Like, wow, that would be really amazing, wouldn't it, to serve both God and country? And then the idea kept growing from there and the desire started to grow from there. But I kind of put it on the back burner. I mean, I kept it there in the background during my seminary discernment and thinking, I need to become a priest first, if that's even what God wills for me.
Sure, absolutely.
And then once I was ordained a priest, it was still there in my background. But again, I put it on the back burner thinking, I got to learn how to be a priest. I need some experience under my belt. I'm just going to focus on being a good associate pastor, learning the experience I need to serve, be a shepherd of souls. And that went well. I think that was also part of God's plan.
I was going to say, that seems wise. That seems very wise.
Yeah, God was in control. You know, it's always God's idea when it's not your idea, because it was out of my mind. It was on the back burner. And then I remember two and a half years through my first assignment, suddenly one day out of the blue, wham, it just came out of nowhere to the front of my mind. And I didn't know what to make of it, thought about it, prayed about it, kind of still toy around. But then I started to get other signs. Suddenly my pastor, Father Thomas Keller, one day said to me out of the blue, he's like, hasn't he ever told you you'd make an awesome military chaplain? And I didn't think ever talked to him about it before.
And he just said that out of the blue.
And he said that.
Wow. And that's a father figure, your pastor,
yes,
obviously, to you.
He was a great help and continues to be, and been an inspiring figure in my life. And then I knew I really had to talk about it. And I mentioned it to the Archbishop in passing a few times in the past. And he said, oh, well, that's something to think about, pray about. And he was Archbishop Carlson. He's a great friend of priests, I'll tell you that. And he was a great mentor for me. And eventually one day I came to him serious about it, saying, I can't get this out of my head. It feels like I'm back in a seminary again and I'm being pestered by something.
I love it. That's how God is. It's in your head and it won't go away.
That's exactly how God works. And he said, well, allow me to give you Father Joseph Coffey's phone number. Have you ever met him before? It's like, oh, yes. I've talked to him on many occasions. Because I visited him. He visited the seminary for my first 4 years.
So then he put you in contact.
Yeah, and he gave me his phone number. And I'll never forget when I called Father Joseph Coffey. I said, hello, Father Coffey. My name's Father David Melosha. I'm the priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. And before I could even say, I don't know if you remember me, he said to me, Father David Melosha, I have been expecting this phone call for 7 years.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
Yeah, and shows how I can't remember names to save my life, but shows how destined mind of a bishop, because he could remember people, and that's always a good quality for a bishop that he is now.
I have been expecting this phone call for 7 years. Unbelievable. Okay, oh my gosh, we're almost out of time. You need to tell us a couple of things.
Sure.
Where will you be stationed? How many soldiers will you serve? You know, do you have to go through basic training? Do you become a full-fledged, you know, military soldier? Tell us briefly a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you a brief summary. So I need to go to Newport, Rhode Island first for 12 weeks of training, 5 weeks of officer development school, which is like a mini boot camp. They don't beat it on us as much because we're already commissioned officers. 7 weeks of chaplaincy school, also in Newport, Rhode Island, where they will teach us the various trades and military lingo and how to work with men, not just of Catholic faith, but of every faith, to minister to all sailors, because that's the job of a Navy chaplain. After that, my first assignment is to report to Yusuka, Japan, for the 7th Fleet. It is the largest fleet in our Navy. It's comprised of anywhere from 70 to 80 ships at any given time, and 40,000 sailors. I will be assigned to the USS Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier. It is the current flagship of our Navy, and there will be anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 sailors just on that one ship alone that I will be the sole Catholic chaplain responsible for, and I will also be responsible for the entire battle group, which can range from anywhere from 6,000 to 12,000 personnel.
Wow, 6,000 to 12,000. That's a lot of people you will be ministering to and serving. Wow. Unbelievable. So how long will your assignment be? Is this a 3 to 5 year commitment, or like a normal priestly assignment? Is it longer?
We serve at the good grace of the diocese. The Archbishop Carlson, or his successor, for any reason at any time, such as the agreement with the military, could call me back for any reason if they need her. So how long will I stay? I don't know. If I'm allowed to stay, I would like to stay for a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
My first assignment will generally last 2 to 4 years, so we'll see how long I'm in Japan before they move me back to the mainland, or maybe keep me out or assign me to another fleet or another ship. But if God is willing, I will stay there as long as he leads me. But yes, I will eventually plan to come back. I think I couldn't see me staying any longer than, you know, 20 years perhaps, and then I'd still come back a relatively young priest and plenty of service left to give to the diocese.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay, so what do you look forward to the most? This is my final question. As you are about to leave, what do you look forward to the most? And then I guess your final words are always, what would you say then to another young man thinking about the priesthood or chaplaincy in the military?
What I look forward to most is being a part of that military culture and ministering to those men and women who serve our country, who give up so much of their time, their freedom, their life to do something good, to serve those who serve. That is what I look forward to the most. And I have to admit, very much the cool factor of being on an aircraft carrier and seeing fighter jets launch off, that is also a nice bonus, I think.
So you like that kind of stuff.
I grew up, I'm very much military-minded. I love military history, military hardware. So yes, I cannot deny the cool factor in it.
I love your honesty, Father Melosha. That is great. All right, and then what would you say to young men who, like you, thought maybe no way, or something's in the back burner and it won't go away?
Do not be afraid. You cannot be more generous than God, from what I have learned. I thought I would have to lose so much, you know, potential wife and family, owning the kind of cars I wanted, going the places I wanted, doing the things I wanted to do. But since I've been in the seminary and ordained, God has given me all that and more than I could ever give up. You can't be more generous with God, and He will repay you for your yes.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you for your yes. First, in your service to the church, your yes to God, your priesthood. It's so beautiful. And then now, service to our country as well, and serving, as you said, those men and women who serve. What a beautiful, beautiful vocation. We wish you health, happiness, safety. May God's protection, that shield of armor, the armor of God, be with you every single day, Father Melosha.
Thank you very much,
Patty. All right, let's conclude by praying for vocations, and then could we have your blessing?
Absolutely.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
God, our Father,
bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in Him, with Him, and through Him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father David Melosha, for being a guest.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to hear previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.